Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit of Illinois, offering financial products and services specifically for the agriculture industry, including farm real estate and operating loans, crop insurance, and point-of-sale financing, as well as farm cash management solutions.
Good morning. You're listening to WILL AM 580. Stay tuned. International news from the BBC World Service is coming up at 9 o'clock. But first, with the pre-opening market report, here's Dave Dickey.
Thank you very much, Chris, and good Thursday morning, everyone. The Labor Department today says that U.S. wholesale prices rose in February because gasoline prices surged, but inflation pressures remained tame outside energy costs. The producer price index increased 0.7% from January. A 7.2% rise in gasoline prices led an overall 3% increase in energy costs. Food costs, meanwhile, dropped 0.5% after rising the previous month. Producer prices have risen 1.7% since a year earlier, but that is still below the Federal Reserve's target of 2% for annual inflation. This morning, USDA released its latest export sales report for the week ending March 7th. The numbers look like this in millions of bushels. Wheat this year, 32.6. Next year, 7.3. Corn this year, 11.1. Next year, 14.6. And soybeans this year, 24.2. And next year, 4.6. Also this morning, we got word that Japan has purchased 130,500 metric tons of milling wheat for bulk shipment in a tender. That includes just over 65,000 metric tons from the United States. Strategic Grains today trimmed its estimate for the European Union's 2013-14 soft wheat harvest by 700,000 metric tons to 130.5 million tons, and it raised its estimate of the bloc's 2013-14 corn production by 400,000 tons to 64.1 million metric tons. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is 14,521, is up 66.5 points. The NASDAQ, 3257, up 12.25. And the S&P 500 is 1561, and it is up almost 6.5 points. Joining us now to take a look at agricultural weather is World Weather Incorporated meteorologist Drew Lerner.
A couple of aggressive storm systems will likely move across the northern plains and a part of the Midwest as we move forward through the next 5 days or so. These storm systems will be aggressive in the sense of producing some significant snowfall in the northern parts of the region, and a mix of precipitation types will occur in more southern locations. Both of these events, though, will leave the southwestern portions of the Corn Belt unaffected and mostly dry. Now, there will be a few showers in some of those areas, but the amount of precipitation that occurs will probably not be all that impressive. Kansas and Missouri will pick up on perhaps a few showers late on Saturday into early Sunday, but that will be pretty much the only time period that a meaningful amount of moisture may occur in that particular region. The first storm system that is expected will come in to parts of North Dakota and Minnesota during the course of the day today, and overnight tonight is when the precipitation will become more significant. The precipitation will then occur on Friday across a big part of the northern and eastern portions of the Midwest, ending on Saturday, and in response to this, we'll likely see the atmosphere generating moisture totals that will run anywhere from a tenth upwards to 4, maybe 5/10 of an inch in a few locations. Areas from North Dakota to Wisconsin will likely see the bulk of the precipitation, and much of it will occur as snow. The snow accumulations run 2 to 6 and some local amounts to 8 inches possibly in this particular event. As the storm system, though, reaches into the lower eastern Midwest, the amount of precipitation will diminish quite a bit. We'll look for totals running upwards to 1/4 of an inch and snowfall probably not much more than 3 or 4 inches at the most. There will be a wintry mix of precipitation in some of the southern areas where we'll see a little rain and snow, as well as perhaps a little bit of freezing rain occurring as the system pushes through those areas, and that will occur during the day on Friday. Behind this will be a weak high-pressure system that will follow into the region on Saturday night into Sunday, but it'll be a fast-moving event as well, and some precipitation may linger in the Ohio River Valley while that system passes by through the Great Lakes region. Right behind it, though, will be a second storm system, and this one is likely to have its roots in Montana and will be a better-developed storm system when it comes into the upper Midwest, which is likely to occur late Sunday night into Monday. The storm system could produce a generalized snow event, again in the upper parts of the Mississippi River Basin, including portions of the eastern Dakotas, Minnesota, northern Iowa, parts of Wisconsin. And as the system moves further to the east, it will generate showers and thunderstorms across the eastern Midwest, and a chance for a little bit of light snowfall at the very end of the storm system as the colder air pushes in behind it. We'll not likely see a lot of accumulating snow with this particular event in the lower parts of the Midwest, and most of it will be confined to the upper parts of the region. Those upper areas could end up with some near blizzard conditions if this low pressure system is as well defined as it has been suggested to be. Temperatures behind this event, in fact, in general, will likely be trending colder. We'll likely see the temperatures here over the next couple of days warming up. In fact, a rather dramatic, impressive rise in temperatures will occur across the southern half of the plains over the next 24 to 48 hours. Afternoon highs on Friday will be in the 80s as far north as northern Kansas and possibly near 90 in a couple of spots in Texas. In contrast to that, temperatures may struggle to get above zero in portions of North Dakota and northern Minnesota as we get into the day on Saturday. Well, most of the Midwest will see high temperatures today in the 30s and 40s, except in Kansas, Missouri, and Nebraska, where some 50 and 60 degree readings are likely. High temperatures tomorrow will be in the 60s and some 70s across the same areas, with a few 80s perhaps in eastern Kansas. In contrast, highs in the far north will be limited to the 20s and 30s, with a few teens in northwestern Minnesota. Temperatures will continue to cool down as we move forward in time. The coolest weather will likely occur early next week, when most of the Midwest will be below average once again. This is meteorologist Drew Lerner.
Support for this agricultural weather report comes from Busey. Busey believes that healthy businesses strengthen our local economy. They have a commercial banking team with 20-plus years of experience providing lending solutions to meet unique business needs. Busey, your dream, our promise.
Let's look and see how futures are trading in the electronic market. In Kansas City, March wheat, 7:30 and a quarter up one. May, 7:40 and a half up two and three quarters. March wheat in Chicago, 7:12 and a quarter up five. May, 7:14 and three quarters up four and three quarters. March corn, 7:41 and a quarter unchanged. May, 7:10 and three quarters up a half. December, 5:56 and three quarters up one and three quarters. March soybeans, 14:74 down one. May, 14:46 down one. November, 12:61 and a quarter down one and a quarter. March soybean meal, 425.90 down 110. May, 429.60 up 70. May soybean oil, 49.34 down 18. April live cattle, 128.72 and a half up 17 and a half. March feeders, 138.80 down 20. And April lean hogs, 80.85 up 20 cents. Joining us on the phone to talk about the markets is Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Moreton, Illinois. Good morning, Ellen.
Good morning, Dave.
Follow through to the downside in the electronic overnight in the soybean pit, but it's come back almost to where it started now.
Yeah, it sure has come back, and the corn market, I think, looks very stable as well. Don't forget, we see expiration of these March grains today, and we've got some pretty big premiums, about 30 cents in the corn and about 25 cents in the March beans over the May beans. You know, I think we've worked through the rumors that China's canceling some bean buys, and we need a little fresh information here to keep pressure in this market. It's started the day a little oversold.
Looks to me like the wheat market is the one that has the most interest right now, with May and July going inverse this week and even going and expanding out a little bit.
Yes, and I think that's coming, Dave, on the fact that U.S. wheat now is cheaper priced, both the hard red and the soft red winter wheat, than what we're seeing out of Europe. We're about $1.50 cheaper per bushel than on the soft red winter wheat than French wheat. And so notice, too, Dave, that the year-to-year exports now are almost neck and neck with last year. Of course, in the wheat, those weren't all that great, but we've really played a catch-up there.
Well, no, that's right. In the last few weeks, it has just accelerated, and today's wheat numbers were pretty good, too.
They were pretty good. Not too much there on the new crop, but that 33 million bushels of old is a nice sale.
That catches everybody's attention. What are your anticipations? We're still a little over a week out. Well, we are a week out. It's Thursday, after all, from the WASDE. The quarterly grain stock report and the planting intentions report next week. What are your thoughts on those?
My thoughts are, even since these data was collected on the planting intentions report, we've probably lost a few corn acres just due to the more active weather conditions that look to be lying ahead over the next 30 days. The grain stocks, it's all going to be about corn. I think that's what everybody's going to zero in on. And how the USDA comes up with feed use just inching up a little bit and being down on the exports and being down on the ethanol use, whether that comes to bear.
Thank you, Ellen. That's Ellen Dearden of AgriView, and she is in Morton, Illinois. You're listening to Illinois Public Media, WILL 580 AM and 90.9 FM, HD3 Urbana. It's 9:01 Central Time.